Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning, everybody, all of you people on the internet and all the leaders that are in here. Love you guys and so glad you tuned us in this morning. I say it every week, but we are so honored and privileged that you people would tune us in all over the country, knowing you have a lot of choices, but you've chosen this church, and we're so appreciative of it. Real quickly, I want to encourage you men and women of VBF that we have all kinds of stuff for you. We're going to have a men's leadership meeting tonight. I'm going to meet with a lot of leaders of the men tonight to birth a new men's ministry program. And this new men's ministry is going to be powerful. After I meet with the leaders tonight and we discuss it, we'll be opening this up for every man that wants to take their life deeper. And for women, we got a link right here that you can look at. We have a link for you women. You can go to it. It's on our webpage. I think Nikki sent it to our back room, and it should be up there. But we have a link for all of you women. And if you want to come down today, there's a booth out in the grounds. You can go out there and find stuff for the women. So I don't see that link, but it's supposed to be back there somewhere. So with that in mind, I want to pray. I want to talk to you, and I'm going to watch the clock real close. And we're going to hear God. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, I might be all over the place this morning. I don't know. As I started looking at my text, I saw little side notes, but I'll tell you, I'll come back to my point if I get off a little bit, okay? My daughter and I were talking one day, and I said, "What kind of sermons do you enjoy the most?" She said, "Just any sermons, Dad, where I hear the Lord's voice. As long as I hear the Lord's voice, I don't care if you're all over the place. I don't care. I just want to hear Him." So let's believe that everything I'm going to talk about is ordained of God, all right? And so let's pray this right here. Father God, anoint the message that I have today. Anoint it. And Lord God, just make it powerful. Just as I speak, I want you to anoint my words. And Lord, let people even hear what I'm not saying. Just use this message for your glory in Jesus' name, amen. And by the way, they will put a link up. And if they don't put that link up for the women's ministry, just go to our webpage, vbf.org, and there's a link to the women's ministry. Our women have all kinds of things going on, and our men will have a really powerful ministry after we birth it tonight, and we'll tell you more. The first verse I want to put up is in Isaiah. I want you to look at it real quickly. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against it." I'm telling you, is the enemy bringing a flood of wickedness into our culture today? I am literally blown away. Don't get me started. Lies and anger and frustration and fear. I mean, the enemy has launched a revival. But it says here in the King James Version that when that happens, the Spirit of the Lord will begin to move and He'll raise up a standard against it. We are part of that standard. And so I'm depending on you to hear the Lord's voice. Our new men's ministry we're giving birth to tonight, and you'll hear more about it. That's part of the standard that God's raising up against this onslaught of wickedness. The women's ministries that are going great guns, a lot of stuff happening. That's part of it. Now, we're going to look at a few verses, then we're going to talk this morning. Look at Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then, when you get a hold of those plans, you'll call upon me. You'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Somebody bring my cell phone to me, or hand me a cell phone. Does somebody have a cell phone I want to use right here for just a second? Just hand me your cell phone if you have it. And if it goes off, I'll give it back to you. I was going to bring mine out, but I forgot. It says that you'll call upon the Lord, and he'll hear you. Now, I was somewhere the other day, and I was trying to make a call, and it was breaking up. It wasn't clear, and I was frustrated. I only had one bar. And I had to move around and walk up on a hill and walk over here. And finally, I got two bars, three bars. And I go, oh, yeah, now I can hear well. God says that if you call upon him, he'll hear you. God's always wanting to communicate to you. But you know what? You got to get yourself in a place where the transmission is clear. Sometimes you have to wipe your slate clean and say, I'm not hearing God. I'm too busy right now. I'm going to go to the mountain. I'm going to go here. Get in a place where you have three bars. But it says, look at another verse real quickly, Psalms 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll rescue you, and you will honor me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. When your day of trouble, you got a speed dial here to God. Father God, I need something. That's exactly what you're to do. Now, I was looking at Abraham's story this week. He was called out of his homeland to go to a land that God was going to show him. You talk about faith. He just packed up his bags one day and said, sweetheart, God said we're to leave. Where are we going? I don't know. I think that way. And he gets halfway to where he's going and says he calls on the Lord. He calls upon him. And he says, Lord, he built an altar. He says, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going on. Samuel, one day, he needed thunder and rain and lightning. It says he called upon the Lord. So, Lord, I need some thunder. I need some lightning. Elijah on Mount Carmel, it says he called upon the Lord. So, Lord, okay, now I'm doing my part. I need you to do your part. Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, if you call upon the Lord, he'll tell you great and awesome things that you didn't know. Oh, Lord, I'm calling on you. Say, Lord, this is Ron Vietti, and I got a scripture, and I don't know about it. And I'm calling on you, God. What is it, Lord? What is it? What is it? It's pretty cool. Here you go, Steve. Thank you for your phone. We're to call upon the Lord. Now, let's go back for a second. Jeremiah 29:11-13. Let me give you the Greek word for plan, or Hebrew word, excuse me. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, okay? You can pronounce it for me. But in the Hebrew, it says, I have a plan for you. And it's a poetic word, and it depicts the skillful intentions coming from the mind of the artist. Whoa, God's an artist. And Rick Warren taught this a long time ago. He used the acronym SHAPE. It said everybody has a shape. And so God, he creates us. He steps back and looks at our shape. That's our spiritual gift, our heart and our passion, our abilities, our personality, and all of our experiences. He steps back and looks at our experiences, looks at our personality. Now, we've had 12, 15, 18 years to develop experiences. He looks at everything like an artist, and he shapes this. Okay, here's my plan for your life. That's pretty cool. Look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. Whose workmanship? The Lord's. We're created in Christ Jesus. We're created for good works. Now, he's molding and shaping us, and whatever he's shaping us into, the purpose of that is good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Look at the Greek word for workmanship. Something produced by continual action. You got to get the train on the tracks before God can guide it and do what he wants to do. So look at the next one, 2 Timothy 1:9. God saved us and called us with a holy calling. Holy calling, what does that mean? Holiness means you separate yourself from the things of the world in order to be faithful to God's calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Jesus Christ from all eternity. Now look at this word for calling. God has a calling in our life. It's an invitation to a banquet. And man, at that banquet, you're going to get all kinds of goodies, man. You're going to get all kinds of good stuff to eat, drink. He's given you an invitation to fulfill the purpose that he put you on the earth for. If you will take that invitation and say, God, I'm gonna obey the purpose you have for me in this earth. You'll have all these goodies, all these blessings. You want to know why some people are blessed and others aren't? Because the ones that are blessed are, they're accepting the invitation. And saying, God, this is your purpose, and you know what? I'm going to fulfill it. Now, I'm starting Wednesday nights. I'm so stoked about Wednesday nights. And I was going to have that announcement, I didn't. I'm taking over Wednesday nights and doing verse-by-verse Bible study. And I did it last Wednesday. I'm doing it this Wednesday. And we're going to tear apart some of this stuff. As I look at these verses this morning, there's so many things to say about those verses. But this isn't a Bible study, so we don't have time. But Wednesday night, we're going to take a book of the Bible. We're going to start tearing it apart. But what do I want to talk to you about today? Here it is, plain and simple. I want to start a conversation with you today about your purpose in life. Now, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be fabulous to know exactly what you were put on this earth to do? I mean, every day for the rest of your life, you could say, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. Now, we all know or should know the basic purpose, and I'm going to go beyond that. But our basic purpose is to glorify God, make him big to everybody, and make disciples out of people. Now, I have a problem with any kind of program, any kind of ministry that puts more emphasis on getting people saved to sign a paper, to raise their hand, to go back to an altar call, and they don't put emphasis on making disciples. You show me a ministry, I don't care what it is, where they just try to get people saved. Raise your hand. Whoa. We go to Mexico and we had 99 people saved. That's great, but what was your plan for discipleship? We're not called to get people saved. We're called to make disciples. And that's very, very important. That takes time. That takes work. Let's talk about that for just a second. I'm pushing something starting this week. I would like for us to start putting a lot of emphasis on follow-up on salvations. We have a habit here that we let people go to the back room sometimes. Sometimes we don't. But when people get saved, we need to follow up with a discipleship program. Now, I'm wanting to start a basic class on self-discipline along with our discipleship program. Let me tell you why. Look at Matthew 13, verse 19. There's four soils described here. I'm just going to address two of them real quickly. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes, snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sowed beside the soil. There's a lot of people you're going to share the gospel with, and it's just going to go right over their head. It's not going to register. That's okay. Their soil is not prepared to receive the seed. If the Lord has laid somebody on your heart that you feel like you want to lead to the Lord, and every time you try to share with them, it just goes right over their head, it just means you got a lot more praying to do, okay? They're not ready to receive it. But look at the second one. This is the one I want to talk about. 2021. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man or lady who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately falls away as quickly as he accepted the Lord. Now, this is descriptive of soil that's just a few inches deep, and then there's a hard pan underneath it. So it roots, but it has nowhere to go. Now, in my mind, these are people who have never learned discipline in any way. They just don't have discipline. In order to be blessed by God, you have to have some self-discipline. Why is that? Because without self-discipline, you're not going to be sanctified. Without sanctification, you're not going to see God. When you get saved, it takes self-discipline. You have to hang in and be at church every week so you can grow. Going to church doesn't save you, but it helps you grow. You need to be into the Word. You need to be in prayer every day. It helps you grow. Now, obviously, self-discipline and self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, but you can't get the fruit of the Spirit until you start spending time with the Lord and abiding in Him. And if you're not disciplined, you'll never do it. Does that make sense to anybody here? Are you with me? Now, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to start a class along with our new convert class and talk about discipline. I'll give you four parts to this real quickly, this class I want to construct. Real simple. Number one, you have to know why you're not disciplined in life. What's the reason you're not disciplined? Is it because of laziness? Or is it preoccupation with sin? Or is it not being organized? Let's deal with the reason that you can't be disciplined. And if it's preoccupation with sin, then we'll get you off sin. If you're lazy, we'll start giving you caffeine every day. That'll do it. If you're not organized, we'll help you get organized. So the first thing you have to do is you have to know why you're not disciplined. Secondly, teach them that they'll never have anything without discipline. You're never going to have a healthy body, a fit body, if you don't have discipline. You're never going to have money. You're never going to have a nice home. You're never going to have a healthy ministry without discipline. You know how much discipline it took to get here? Oh, my gosh. Discipline. And then the third thing is we're going to try to get you to see why you need to want discipline real badly. Why you want whatever discipline produces. In other words, you got to want it badly. For example, me, I want a healthy body really badly. I've seen my dad and brother go through 5 bypasses, heart bypass. I want a healthy body really badly. Enough to eat nuts and seeds and enough to endure that. I really, really want the respect of my family. I want to leave a legacy. I really, really want to feel good. I want to have a home paid for someday. I want to have stuff to leave my kids and I want it really, really bad. And that motivates me to discipline myself. And then number 4, teach them to start with little things. With little things. Discipline yourself in ways like being on time at places, with the TV programs. That's going to be just that. That's the side thing I'm going on there, okay? That's something I want to teach new converts. Now, we all are called to make disciples. You can't make disciples without discipline. Someone was sharing with me the other day the 99-1 principle, and they said, man, we're going to go out there and save everybody. We're going to leave 99 and go after the one. They don't understand the word. You leave the 99 to go after the one to bring the one back to the 99. You go get them to bring them back to the church. You don't say the church isn't doing their job, so I'm going to go out there and win souls for Christ. No, you got to plug them back into the church. That's where disciples are made. You can't make a disciple by yourself. The church is the only one that has the gifts, all the variety of gifts to make disciples. Now, back to our topic. You guys get the speeded up version because I'm watching the clock because I have to find out what I'm going to do in the next 2 services. But what's good, this is an ongoing conversation. You're blessed when you go here. You know why? Because if you go to another church and hear a slow speaking pastor talk for 45 minutes and you hear me, you get twice as much out of my 45 minutes. You're going to get twice as much stuff. I could talk real slow and make 3 sermons out of this if I wanted. And I'm not even on caffeine today, neither. Now, back to our topic. I'm not going to say a lot about this first part because I've talked about it a lot. But basically, there are 2 distinct parts to your purpose in life. 2 distinct parts. We've talked about that a lot here at VBF. Number 1, we're to daily take part in the generic purpose. And most all of us that have went here for any length of time were aware of that, but we have a lot of new people listening to us that aren't aware of it. What's our generic purpose? It's to go out into the world and touch people with the love of God every day. That's a generic purpose. I said some time ago, I did a sermon, and I like to take this sermon all over the United States, and that is, it's easy to serve God. For all of you new people, Jesus one time said something, and it triggered my mind, and I came up with this sermon. But he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And one of the definitions of yoke is the way rabbis taught scripture. He's the way I teach a relationship with God. It's really simple, really simple. And it is. Every day when I go out in the world and I pray for somebody and I love on people and I give to somebody and I text somebody, I send people messages, I send people videos, I give somebody a book, I invite them to church. Every time I do one of those things, I've just served God and God's giving me high fives going, woo! Every time. I mean, every day I strive to serve God at least 6, 8, 10 times. This week, I called several people on the phone. I prayed with them, and God goes, "Whoa, give me 5. Whoa, you just did my will. It's not even 11 o'clock. Facebook, I sit down every day, spend 2 or 3 hours on Facebook, answering people's Bible questions, whatever. God, give me 5, man. You just hit 9 people. Whoa, you just hit 9. Whoa, I'm so happy with you. See how it works? Went to Taco Bell, saw a homeless guy out there, and I don't ever give money usually, but there's always exceptions to the rule. I saw him going through the trash cans looking for food, stop my car, run over, put $4 down, get back in my car, I'm in the drive-thru, and God says, give me 5. Give me 5. And so every day, I mean, I can just give you example after example of my week. But we talked about that a lot. That's something that should be a no-brainer. You should have that down. You say, Ron, I know you mention that a lot. I have to mention it a lot because a lot of you still aren't doing it. Right now, count how many times you've served God this week. I'll count up, and I'm not bragging, Lord, forgive me, but I probably served God 72 times this week. 72, easy. What? I got to give you a standard, and I'm blessed. God's blessing me. I get on Facebook and do 30 times in the morning before I even leave the house, or 20. So we got to be part of the standard he's raising up. Church, quit being lazy. Now, but I'm not talking about that. That's not where I'm going. I want to talk about that special purpose. Now, I want to focus in on that today. Again, in the Bible, we're told to minister to two fields. The world field out there at large, then the church field. That's the orchard. There's both words in the Greek. Now, it's my opinion that if you get these both down, and as pastors, I really have to say it a lot because we get paid to do what we do. If our ministry doesn't exceed what we're getting paid for, we've already got our reward. The check is our reward. You have to go beyond that. And so I believe we get both these down. We do the generic purpose of God's will every day. I'm going to go back a second. Some of you haven't got past that yet. Some of you right now, it's been identified that you're not serving God during the week. You can't think of 4 things you did. Come on, I'm not here to condemn you. It's time to get with the program. You can do better. Now, if you get both these down and daily you're phoning people, you're texting people, you're praying for them, then you get down your special purpose. I believe, it's my opinion, that you're indestructible while you're on this earth. Indestructible. If you're doing both those things. Look at Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in this generation, then he fell asleep. He didn't fall asleep before. He couldn't die before. After he had finished the purpose that God had for him in his own generation, then he fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay, speaking of his body. Now, all of the Bible characters were born with a purpose. I want to show you some of these right now. Abraham was called to be a father to a nation. Some of you, that's your calling, to be a dad. What? Outside of your generic purpose, that'll be God's special calling for you for the next 25 years. How do you know if that's me? Well, if you have over 3 or 4 kids, there's your calling. Stop looking for ministry. If you've got over 4 of those little creatures, that's your calling, okay? That's it. You say, what if they get raised? After they get raised, you've got the grandkids. You've got to start doing them. We get the privilege. I can't understand grandparents. I can't. Can't understand grandparents who go, man, I had the kids. One day, I can't have them too. Our grandkids could live with us. That's one of our purposes. Our purpose is for our grandkids. I watch my wife, she sits down in the middle of the floor 2 or 3 days a week and plays with them and sings Bible songs with them, tells them Bible stories. I'll walk through and I'll go, Olive, I'll go, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And we'll start singing it together. And so, you know, right now, you guys are tuning in. In Jesus' name right now, I'm gonna anoint some of you. Ready? I'm gonna anoint you to have 7 kids, 9 kids, 6 kids, 7 kids. 7. You got to have 2 more. At least 1 more. But you say, that could be a calling for the rest of my life. That could be your calling. You could say, God, I'm doing it. Do it for the rest of your life, because Abraham was called to be a father. Samuel was anointed to be a prophet and a seer. A prophet is a seer. He sees things that nobody else sees. Now, some of you will be called for a lifetime to bless the church with your spiritual gift. That'll be lifetime. God's not going to give you anything more. Charlie Garcia, man, had the gift of miracles and prophecy. That was his lifelong calling. He had his generic purpose out in the world. But then his lifelong calling, it wasn't going to get any deeper than that. He was blessing us and talking to us. See, he did his part out there too. We have one of the pillars of our church today. She worked at a little convenience store down here. And every day Charlie would go in there and say, I'm praying for you. You need to get right with God. You need to go to church every day, every day. That's his generic purpose out there. And now she's a pillar in the church. So some of you just need to find your gift of the Spirit and use it in the church. That's your calling. That's your purpose. If you do that with the regular generic every day of calling people, praying, hey, you're in. You're dialed in. You're at the banquet table. And God will be blessing you. Ruth may have had a calling to share her conversion story. She could have had a lot of callings. But that could be a full-time purpose. I mean, when you looked at the life of Ruth, she had a pretty cool conversion story. Pretty cool. Now, for some of you, when you dial it in, you go, man, I had a really crazy conversion story. That might be God's purpose for you for the rest of your life. Every week I say, who am I going to invite to Starbucks today to tell them my story? Who am I going to invite? You're always looking for someone to invite. And you do that for the rest of your life. And God says, I won't call you home till the last person that needs to hear your story heard it. See, Ruth, she found her destiny by helping someone else find theirs. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's pretty cool. When you become the answer to someone else's problem, you'll find yourself solving a lot of your own problems through that. Elisha, Timothy, Joshua, Barnabas, Ruth, all these people helped someone become who they were supposed to be, and as a result, they became who God wanted them to be. Can I say that again? These people all helped someone else become who they were supposed to be, and when they did that, they just fell into what God called them to be. Oh, some of you need to find someone and ask them, say, hey, what? Find someone that's already being used of God, already being used. If I read scripture rightly, the people we're supposed to pray for the most are the people that are already being fruitful. But find someone that's already being fruitful and say, hey, I want to ask you something. What is the biggest issue you're dealing with in life right now, and how can I help you with that issue? Oh, and then you'll find it coming back on you. Barnabas helped Paul find his way. And because he did that, he was blessed. Barnabas would have never became who he was supposed to be without helping Paul become who he was supposed to be. Same with Timothy and Paul. Timothy helped Paul become who he was supposed to be. As a result, Timothy got two books in the Bible with his name on them. That never would have happened without helping Paul. Elisha got a double portion of Elijah's anointing as he helped Elijah. He was his servant. Joshua was allowed to pick up where Moses left off, all because he helped Moses become who he was supposed to be. Ruth helped Naomi make it through life. And that was Ruth's purpose for quite a long time. That was her purpose every day. Help Naomi make it through life. Ruth had more. Maybe we can talk about that in our next time together. Esther used her beauty in order to help God's people. Her beauty was a tool that she used. It was something that nature bestowed on her. She used her beauty for the kingdom of God. Now, what have you been blessed with in the way of talents or skills or materialistic things? If you use those for the glory of God, you might find your purpose on earth if you use them for the glory of God. Again, it's redundant, but if you have a beauty shop, the purpose for the rest of your life could be every Saturday morning we open up early at 7 o'clock to 9, and all we do is single moms' hairs and their daughters. We do it for free. I mean, that could be for the rest of your life. Say, God, I'm doing my purpose. See, so often we think it's so hard to find our purpose that we don't even try. It's so easy. Athletes. Some of you are athletes. God endowed you with that ability. Why not start something out here in the afternoons for after school kids, all these kids in the poor neighborhoods? See, the kids in the rich neighborhoods, oh, they can afford these personal trainers and everything. That's why they're good athletes. What about the poor kids? Come out here and do it for free. Teach them how to be athletes. I could go on and on and on. People who work on cars, people who know how to do income taxes. See, the Bible has a very cool principle. And it says, be faithful in small things, and then I'll see you, and I'll give you bigger things. See, let me tell you something. This platform is just a raised position of what I used to do down there. Can I say it again? This platform is just a raised position of what I used to do when I was down there. Wow, that'll teach you something. See, we're called. We're called with a purpose. The new men's group we're birthing tonight has a lot to do with this. A lot to do with this. Joseph was called to be a leader among God's people. Some of you are going to be called to be leaders in this church, and that'll be your lifelong purpose. Outside of your generic, don't forget your generic. Daily, you're still going out there showing people love of God. You're praying for them. But that'll be your purpose for the rest of your life, to be a leader in this church. Right now, I'm telling someone, you have been called to be a leader in this church, and you're fighting it. You've been called to be a leader right here at VBF, and that's your lifelong purpose. It can be full-time or it can be part-time. Just be full-time. Mike Maggard's a leader in this church, but he doesn't work for us. Randy Garrett, Steve Anderson, Tasha Alejandro never worked for us, but man, was she a leader in this church. Charlie Garcia, Alicia Voss, my wife. See, you know what my wife's purpose in life is? You know what her purpose is? Real simple. It's to keep this crazy guy straight. That's her purpose. That lady has been gifted with supernatural, miraculous powers to put up with me. Unbelievable. Hey, don't have to say amen. No, that, you know. But that's her purpose. And her purpose will never be, my wife's purpose is to put up with me and then to teach my kids and grandkids about God and pray for them. That's her purpose for the rest of her life. And that's a fantastic purpose. Next, Gideon. I'm watching the clock. We're almost out of time. He was called to deliver the people from the Midianite bondage. They were under bondage. And he was called to be their deliverer. And some of you will be gifted with that gift for the rest of your life. Some of you have had miraculous recoveries from pornography, from alcoholism, from drug addiction. And you're calling for the rest of your life, especially in a place like VBF where we have, you know, just this whole variety of people coming. We got a lot of poor people, a lot of hurting people. I think we've attracted the roughest people in Bakersfield for years, and that's an honor. But the rest of your life, God doesn't need you to change and be anything else. You're going to say, hey, I can help you get out from underneath this bondage. In Vegas, we have strip club ministries. We have all of those. I was thinking when I was writing these notes out, in Vegas years ago, the strip club ministry came to me and said, hey, we need, if there's any blind guy that would like to be a part of our ministry, we'd like to have him. They were very serious about it. I said, why is that? They said, because there's a lot of clubs we can't get into without a guy. And we'd like him to be blind so he can't see and he won't be tempted. And I said that one of our old guys, about 80, comes, said, you know what, Pastor, I think I'll probably help him. I said, wait, you're not blind, Joe. You're not blind. Oh, I can't see very good. I said, you can see good enough. You're not going. You're not going. Elijah, Elisha, they had the gift of miracles. Oh my gosh, do we need that one. Charlie Garcia gave people hope. He showed people how real God was. Naomi took Ruth in like a daughter. Naomi had this gift of being mama bear. She took Ruth in. It was her daughter-in-law, and she told her everything she knew. She taught her. She won her to her God. You know, we need mama bear women around here. We got so many young women that don't have moms. We do. That's a lifelong ministry. We have so many guys that don't have dads. Rich Parker, we need you out there in that bondage ministry, out there helping him. But here, just being a mom or being a dad. The servant girl who served Naaman's wife in the Bible. Remember her master had an illness, and she came to him one day and she told the master's wife, I know a man of God that can heal this. Some of you, for the rest of your life, you need to get it solidified. Your calling is to be a servant girl or a servant boy at work. You're supposed to find all these hurting people. Say, you know what? My pastor has a sermon I'd like you to hear. You know what? I know somebody with the gift of miracles in our church. I'd like him to pray for you. That's what you do for the rest of your life. Hello. How easy is this? To know what you're supposed to do for the rest of your life. But Ron, what if I'm not sure? I hear you saying, I think I have an idea. Do what you're thinking about. Don't wait around on this. But I'm not sure. See, that's one of the devil's tricks. He destroys you through distraction. He likes you to put things off. After hearing this sermon today, just come up with something that you say, I'm going to do it. See, once you get the train on the tracks, then God steers it. I mean, don't overthink it. Just say, hey, I'm going to take this little thing. See, gosh, overthinking things is a real problem in the church today. So a lot of you know what you're to do. Just go home today, say, I'm going to do it for the next 2 months, and if it's not God's will, I won't continue it, but I'm going to do it with all my heart, and he'll get you in the right place. Romans 8:28, if nothing else. See, me, I had no idea what I was supposed to do, and I heard a sermon similar to this. Here's little Ronnie, man, I'm 24 years old, young Ronnie, and I got saved, and I'm a Christian, and I don't know God's purpose for my life. And so I heard a sermon similar to this, and I go, well, I'll tell you what, I'll start teaching Sunday school. Why? Do you feel called to that? Not especially, but I got to start somewhere. So I said, I'll teach Sunday school. They said, do you prefer? I prefer youth. They said, we're going to give you third graders. I said, oh, man. That was a horrible Sunday school. Horrible, horrible. But I took those third graders. They'd be getting rowdy, punching each other, and I'd go, I did this a lot. I'd say, look, guys, come on, knock it off. Okay, listen, I'm going out of the room, beat the tar out of one another, and I'll be back in 5 minutes. I'd walk out, and I'd come back in. That wasn't a good Sunday school teacher. But I started teaching Sunday school. After that, God got me and said, hey, got another job for you. What's that, God? I want you to start leading youth. I started leading youth for a while until they fired me because a real youth pastor came in with Bible college. And they fired me and let me go. They weren't paying me, but they dismissed me. And then after that, I said, what do I do now, God? And God gave me a vision to start a church. And that was when no one started churches. And this is what it's turned into. Let me end. This letter has been around forever. And it's a letter written to the fiance of a recently converted communist student at an Eastern university, and he's breaking off his engagement with his fiance. I don't even know if it's authentic, but it's been around for decades. Part of the letter says this: we communists have a high casualty rate. A certain percentage of us get killed or imprisoned. We live in virtual poverty. We turn back to our party every penny we make above what is absolutely necessary to keep us alive. We communists don't have time or the money for many movies or concerts or eating out or decent homes or new cars. We've been described as fanatics, and we are fanatics. Our lives are dominated by one great overshadowing factor, the struggle for world communism. There's one thing in which I am dead earnest, and that is the communist cause. It's my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my mistress. I work out in the daytime, I dream of it at night. It holds on me, grows day by day, not lessens as time goes by. Therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even a conversation without relating it to this force which both drives me and guides my life. I evaluate books, ideas, actions according to how they affect the communist cause. It goes on and on. Then he, at the end of the letter, he goes, I want to ask you, do you have that much devotion to your Lord Jesus Christ? He says, I want to say something to you Christians. You will never win the world for the Lord because you're not dedicated. We communists will, but you won't. And he just really gets on to her. Really, it goes on and on. Gang, right now, I have never seen a time like this in my lifetime where wickedness is raising up. I listened to Dennis Prager the other day, and I didn't know the difference between the far left and a liberal. And he says there's a big difference. Big difference. We are in need of letting the Spirit move us to stand up and be that presence that God is bringing against this evil. We're called. I just deliver the sermon. I plant the seed. Next week, I'll tell every man here that wants to take it deeper how you're going to do it. I'm going to tell you next week. Women, you already have all these things going. It's time to rise up. It's time to be strong. There's a trumpet blowing for the church. Ta-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's time. It's war. Put the war paint on. Got so much more to say. But this message might be continued. It might not. It depends on what I think Saturday. I got a lot more to say. Father God, right now speak to us. Cause us to begin to fulfill that twofold purpose of God in our lives. We believe you'll do it. We thank you for it. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. God bless you, love you, and see you here, there, in the air.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.